Welcome to the In Hope Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Preach.
And I'm Brandon. And each week we drop an episode to strengthen unity in the body of Christ.
We want you to be part of the conversation. So make sure you like, share, subscribe, and let's talk. Today, I know we wanted to talk about that part two.
So we talked about expectations of pastors.
Yes.
Episode or two ago.
Yep.
And this time we're talking about expectations on congregations. Did you know that you are expected
that for I'm certain expected? Things?
Oh, and yeah. Not expected.
Oh, yeah.
The things that we are and are not expected.
Yeah. Like Easter. You better be there.
You better be there for Easter.
You better be there.
Well, actually, that kind of goes into one of the first ones that I wrote down is even just showing up.
Yes.
That actually is in, let me find my little note here because I wrote this down. Okay. So Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says this. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together.
Yep.
As some are in the habit of doing.
Wait a minute. Okay. Whoa. Wait a minute.
I'm just kidding. I'm not pointing a condemning finger.
Yeah. He just, look, this is
some early. Of you.
Well, first of all,
I don't know.
This is just early kidding. Church. All right. Now, church, we always look at the early church as like this beautiful ideal state. Look, y'all, they had issues.
Oh, yeah.
They had real issues.
The church, there's always been issues.
Right?
It's always been issues.
But I love here how he just throws shade on some people. He's just like, some.
He totally does. He's like, as some of you are in the habit of doing. Let me finish it, though, here real quick. But encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. Like, there's a reason why we're meant to get together. Mm-hmm. We should be expected to show up, not just for ourselves. And I think that's a lot of times they're like, why we need to show up for myself so that I can get the learning that I need? No, you're there. You're also supposed to show up for others. Because what does he say here? Encouraging one another so that you can be encouraged, but also that you might encourage someone else. God may have a word through you for someone that's there. And if you're not there, can't give it to him.
Look, I'm a translate. Look, fool, it ain't all about you. All right? Get to church.
Hey, the Bible says not to call anybody
a
fool.
I'm sorry. It does use the word stupid, later. Though. So, in Proverbs, talks about
how you... talking about Mr. T. I pity the fool who doesn't go to church.
I pity the fool, right? It's not all about you.
It is not all about us.
It's not about you going and receiving. Get out of your consumer mindset.
Oh, I put consumerism on there.
Come on. And know, as I'm over here flashing my Costco applesauce. Nice. Costco, what's it called? Endorsement.
Should we start eating during all of our podcasts?
Endorsement.
Pretty fun.
So... Look, y'all throwing me off.
But anyways, all right, go ahead.
It's not about you and always what you can get and what you're getting. But I think that's important as we're talking about this idea of expectations on the congregation.
Yeah.
I know one that I'm a big fan of is that everyone ministers.
Yes.
Like everyone gives.
Yeah,
everyone
go right back.
Participates. Yep. And so if at the least, and this doesn't mean, because I think we always have to, this doesn't mean you're going to hell if you don't show up on Sunday.
Right.
All right. That's not what this means. It's not, this does not mean like you better be there 50 out of 52 weeks. but that you make it a priority.
Yeah.
That's what it means. It says, make this a priority. Let us not neglect meeting together. Pushing it aside, saying it's, not that important.
I think recognizing that it's not just for us. I think it's really easy for us to slide into that. Like, well, I need to go to church for me. And that's, unless you really think about it, that's probably most of us at some point.
Yeah.
Or like, well, I need to go to church because I need to get better or whatever. not recognizing that God has a role for us there. Mm-hmm. And you know, we've talked about this verse a number of times, but we see that in the gifts, the 1 Corinthians 12 verse of that we are a body and with many parts. The church is a body of many parts. Mm. And we talked about this earlier. You called me a toe. but the different body parts can't say, I don't need you, is mm-hmm. what that basically says. Is that we're all meant to fulfill this certain part of the body of Christ. And when it's gone, you notice it. If you don't have a big toe, you're going to be unstable, right? If you don't have your eye, you're not going to be able to see. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're not. So each person has their purpose in being there. So when someone's gone, there is a missing element to the church as a whole, and so things can get lost that God meant for good. So yeah,
absolutely. And yeah,
that's a good one.
No, absolutely. And realizing, I mean, you don't know how important that big toe is until it's gone.
Yeah.
You don't. And we definitely need to realize that wherever God has placed you, wherever you're at, you are there for a reason. And it's not just for you to receive, but there is something for you to contribute to.
So that you are can receive.
Yeah.
Because all those other body parts, they're all an opportunity for you to be encouraged.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's good. It's good to go to church.
Absolutely. So I think that's a good one. Good one to start off with here. There is an expectation that you will take part in gatherings, that you will not neglect meeting together, that you will attend, just to put it plainly, that you will attend. But even beyond that,
not just on Easter and
Christmas. Yeah, yeah, not just on Easter and Christmas, but that you will make attending a priority. You will make being part of the gathering a priority, and that you will contribute. I know that kind of takes it to another level, right? Because there's many ways that we can contribute, but that you're going to contribute to the overall functioning and health of the body. So,
and I did write down everybody's favorite one mm-hmm. in here when you're talking about contributing.
Do it. Go ahead. Do it.
Get
somebody to turn this off. Go ahead.
We can't expect for people to give financially.
Oh, there it is.
To give 10%. And you know, that was a hard one for me for a long time. There's nothing that holds onto our hearts like our money does. Mm. And but why I think we can go a little bit into the why behind that. Mm-hmm. And I did look up a couple of verses that I think are important for this. That this is Numbers 18:21, is very early in the Old Testament. It says, I give to the Levites all the tithes in Israel as their inheritance in return for the work they do while serving at the tent of meeting. So God set apart a certain group of his people called the Levites to do the work, do his work within the temple, to take care of the church. So that's your people that run the church. They are there giving their time and their efforts to encourage, to support in all these ways. Do people do it wrongly? Sure. But that's not our job. Our job is just to, as congregants, is to help support them in that. Yeah. And so the tithe.
And so I want to also say what's interesting is that we see examples of people doing it wrong within scripture.
Oh, yeah.
But we don't see God saying, okay, stop doing it because they're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
God doesn't say stop tithing because they're not, I don't like, they're not using their tithe perfectly.
Yeah. Or well, something I was thinking about that this is, and they will reap that, the punishment for that.
Absolutely.
Like that's where we can take comfort in knowing that we are just being obedient to God in our tithe because mm-hmm. he calls us to do that, right?
Yeah.
And we might hate it, whatever. It's really just a way to show him that he is the most important.
Yeah.
And it's needed. Like we need money those people need to eat. The people that are running the church, they need to eat. They need to care for their own families.
Yeah.
So that is our obedience to God is this because he can do it. He can.
Yeah.
But that's him helping us to overcome our reliance on the God of money.
Yeah.
And so absolutely. He asks us to do that. So we do it obediently. And if the people that are receiving it, if they totally mess it up and they're using it wrong, which is that's our reason a lot of times for not doing it. And they might, but what we need to do is understand that we had to let go of it and give it to God. And then whatever happens to it after that, God's going to take care of it.
Yeah.
You know, God's, and we should, you know, have discernment and there should be accountability within any church and any setting, right? That should all happen. But also we should be okay letting it go, because when we let it go, it becomes God's. And then he will have his day of judgment over the people who take those. And I can say this as a person who has received tithes as payment, mm-hmm. because I've been in church ministry and I'm currently in church ministry. That is a heavy burden. Like, I'm thinking about that. I'm going like, okay, I better do what's right with this money, because I may be severely judged for misusing God's funds.
That's a real
worry for me.
Yeah.
And some people aren't worried about that, but they will be. They will be on the day of judgment. And that's where we get to have our comfort in knowing that, like, we can do what God is asking us to do and release that and know that that he's going to take care of it for us.
And well, that's an expectation. I want to say, you should not be at a church you're not comfortable tithing to.
Right.
Yeah. Just you shouldn't be there. If you're like, oh, well, you know, I don't know about, you know, what they're.
Yeah, I don't know if they're doing it right.
Right. Or whatever. You shouldn't be there.
Don't go there. Yeah.
You shouldn't be attending.
Your discernment.
There. Yeah, exactly. You should not be attending there if you're not comfortable contributing towards that ministry. And
pray about it.
Yeah. Pray about it. And that's another thing.
Ask God to reveal those things.
Yeah. And that's another thing. There are some that, because this is a debate. This is a wide sweeping debate on whether or not New Testament, you know, Christians need a tithe and whatnot. I think really what this comes back to is whether or not you put a specific percentage on it. We need to pray. And we ought to be contributing in some way. And I've heard pastors say, one of my very first pastors, he said, you've never tithed. Okay. Start with 1%, start with 2%, start with 5%, whatever. Just start with it and see what happens.
Yeah.
I just see what happens. Because God is faithful to honor and bless,
Well, yeah, I wrote down another one for that, right? Malachi 3:8-10.
Exactly. Go ahead, read it.
Want me to read it?
Yep, go ahead. Read
will
it.
A mere mortal rob God? Says they don't rob God of his size. He says, but you ask, how are we robbing you? And he says, in tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you're robbing me. He's talking to Israel here. But then he says this, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. So he's saying, bring this in so that I may provide for the other people around you.
Yeah.
And then he says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it.
Yeah. And that is blessing. So...
blessing is not always money, by the way. I think that's important to recognize. But
absolutely.
When I finally got a hold of this, or my heart got a hold of this, I will testify that this is true.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's really important there that we see God says the tithe is his. And now if you go back to the Numbers and Exodus and all, you know, where they're instituting all this stuff, if you go back, you see the tithe belongs to God, and God is sharing that with his ministers.
Yes.
For what they're doing. And so, but the tithe belongs to them. You should not see it as I'm giving to this minister, or I'm giving specifically even to this. It's, first of all, you should be attending somewhere that you feel like is faithful to God, right? And then you have to realize that when you're giving to the kingdom, you're giving to God, you're giving to the king, right? And so it's him you're giving towards. And we do this. This is just, to me, this is one of those great examples of unity within the church. It's everybody contributing some, so that the church body overall has what it what it needs. And honestly, if everyone did contribute some, the church body overall would have more than it needs. Usually, typically, not everyone is doing it. But if everyone did, the church body would have more than it needs. There would not be lack. There would not be people in need, because the church would have an abundance of which to minister to others and support and give towards others. And so I think this is a great example when it comes to us saying everyone contributes. We're not just talking about financially, but financially is one of those where it's just so clearly displayed, and you can see so clearly how that works, to where when everybody contributes some, not everybody giving 100, but everybody just giving some, giving 10% is what the tithe, that typical tithe is. When everybody does that, there tends to be more than enough.
Oh yeah.
More than enough.
Cause the average is like less than 50%.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh so, yeah. Well under 50% of
survive
people.
On that. They survive.
Yeah.
But if you just imagine if it was 100%, how that would change just the ability to reach out to the hungry, the homeless, the widows, the orphans, which there's another verse that talks about. That's part of that, is taking care of widows and orphans.
Yeah.
But beyond the church, workers.
Yeah, exactly. And you saw that
you can just imagine what we could do.
Yeah. And we saw that within the early church. The apostles really were provided for.
Yeah.
They were not in need.
They sold land. They provided for everybody.
And the apostles weren't like rolling around like a modern. I'm about to get myself in trouble. The apostles weren't rolling around like some modern day preachers with, you know, thousands and, you know, hundreds and thousands of dollars and like Gucci clothing and all this, weren't all lavished up like the Pope. Like they weren't. The apostles weren't doing that, right? They were living modest lives, but the church provided for them, for the leadership of the church there, and the church had enough abundance to where they were doing regular feedings of widows, to where that became a whole dispute, to where nobody was in need. The church was doing so well off that when somebody had a need, they came to the church and the church took care of it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like this whole process of, oh, well, we got to check our funds and then we got to do this and that. And well, we can only give $100. That's our, you know, limit. Right. Cause that's stuff that happens because churches are trying to do so much with so little.
Yeah.
But when you see this actually in practice, you see what this was meant to be. We see within the early church that people are giving, and they're giving so generously. They're not just trying to meet this quota of 10%. Yeah, they're just saying, no, we're going to give what we can. Yeah. We're going to contribute what we can. And people are giving with such disruptive generosity that you one of our church values. with so disruptive generosity that the whole community is changed and is provided for, to where nobody was in need. Nobody lacked anything.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So
that'd be something. So yeah, and so we're talking about this, like, what are some expectations? And I think churches can expect that the people that are attending there do give. And I can tell you, it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. I don't know a church that likes talking about it.
No, absolutely not.
They don't
want
to talk about it, but it does need to be talked about, because it is just part of God's plan. Like he wants people to be set free from their, from letting money lord over them.
Yeah.
That's part absolutely. Of it. Right. But also he needs to provide for the people that are doing the work of the Lord and the people that are struggling.
Yeah.
Well, and the orphans and widows and that's how he does it.
Yeah. And I would just say, I mean, this kind of goes back to just general contribution, right?
Yeah.
If you use it, contribute to it.
Yeah.
If you use it, contribute to it. So I feel like financially, that's clear, right? I mean, if you walk onto the campus that's being paid for by finances, you're using the AC, you're sitting in seats, you're listening, you're being ministered to in any way, all of that is paid for by finances. So contribute to it, right? If you are using childcare, contribute to it. Do a little volunteering, right? Like, help out a little bit.
You know what's kind of funny is that we don't seem to have or we've just come to accept that we need to pay taxes.
Yes.
Right. We need to pay for the things like schools and stuff that we use.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the church, I mean, I've heard so many people say, I don't want to go to church because they just want my money. And it's like, well, they don't want it. They need it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right. It's not just it's not just a desire. We're not there just to get your money. I mean, some people are, again, this is the discernment thing. But the majority of them, they don't want your money.
Yeah.
They need it to survive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to do what they're doing.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is awesome. Like they're providing a space for community. They're providing a space to worship. They're providing hopefully like some sort of services for many of their congregants or counseling or any of those kind of things. And most churches are doing that.
Yeah. And I would say even more than the want and the need there of finances, the church wants you to be in right relationship with God.
Yeah.
Right. And we believe that if you are in right relationship with God, then you're going to be a generous person.
Yeah.
Because God is generous. And so as you're walking with him and you're trying to be close to Jesus and you're trying to be like Jesus and you're trying to do what Jesus did, you are going to be generous because he is generous.
He was super generous.
And that's, again, this is not just dollar signs thing. This is not just finances, but this is generosity with your time, with your skills, with your, like, we see this in Jesus. And we see that, again, if we're just talking about if you use it, contribute to it, well, contribute to the Bible studies, right? Like, don't just go and absorb, contribute, come in and have something to share. Like, contribute. If you are being prayed for, pray for others. Yeah. You are using people's prayers, contribute some prayers. All right. Like this is just us being part of the body and working together. Right.
Yeah.
And so if you use it, contribute to it. We talked about attending. We've talked about contribution. Is there another one? We're gonna have to close up soon. This is gonna be a short one.
Well, I put service, which is kind of along the same, because we were talking about giving specifically, but now you're starting to breach into service.
Yeah.
Which I do believe that again, just going back to the body part, is that we all have gifts to contribute.
Yes, and absolutely.
And that's watching kids in the kids zone or a musical gift or even just a, you know, just being able to say hi to people as they walk in the door, and hospitality is an awesome gift to use. And everybody's got these things that God has given them to use to edify the church.
Yes.
And they're all used for good things.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. It's like, there's so many good things to do that bring, and including the money thing, it's all for good, for the good of us as a whole, as a humanity.
Yeah.
And so, and I think most of us want that to some degree, even if we're not believers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we want to be for the good of humanity.
Yeah.
And so God just already gave us that outline of how to do it.
Yeah.
And to be a part of it. And so, I don't think it's that big of a stretch, but it is something that really challenges us, for some reason. And I remember, like I said, that I was really quick. I was always really quick to give talents because I felt like that was something I had to give. Money was a lot harder for me as partially because I was never a big money earner.
Mm-hmm.
Just felt like such a stretch to try to fit that in. But I will say that once I did overcome that, I do feel like God blessed me even more, which was amazing. Because I do think possibly that talents and other things could could be that, right? Because you're getting whatever your best is, you know, that first fruits. And that, to me, that's a first fruit that I had was a musical talent.
Yeah.
But I do believe that when I talked about removing that, it's an idolatry with money. Where we feel like we just don't have enough. And like, it's, if we don't have it, then our life's going to be a certain not good way or something.
Yeah.
And there is kind of placing it in a God seat, and what giving it some of it away does is helps us remove that idolatry.
Yeah.
And that was the piece that I was missing, that I don't know that I needed to give the money as much as I needed to remove the idol of it.
Yeah. That's good.
If that makes sense.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Man, see, I should have wrote it down. I even have my laptop here because I've been taking notes, trying not to do this, not to forget what just came across my mind as you were saying that. But there's that idea of attending, contributing both financially and in service. I think it's really important for us to realize you do have something to give.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think we can get fixed on other people's talents and think, well, I can't do that, and so I can't do anything. No, you have something to give. And sometimes it may be something you don't even realize is there yet. But again, this is one of the reasons why we grow, we develop, we become disciples, grow closer to Jesus, be more like him and do what he did in community, because we can speak to each other. Sometimes people don't even realize the giftings that they clearly display and when it counted as a gifting. For example, you just mentioned hospitality, like being able to greet someone, make people feel
welcome. Some
people
think only the stage is the gift.
Yeah, right? People may not even count that as a gift, but that is a real blessing and a gift that if you lean into, you can end up being the one that ends up, you know, welcoming somebody and making them feel like they had a place to go. They were welcome when they were scared out of their wits about stepping into a church.
I would argue it's a more, you should never say anything is more important than the other, but people are more likely to stay at a church if they've been welcomed well than if they like the music.
Yeah.
That's just been my experience. Like receiving that welcoming, like, and actually making a human connection to someone.
Yeah.
Cause you're not necessarily making a human connection with someone that's on the stage when you're way down here.
Yeah.
But when you actually talk to someone and they welcome you in, that's a different human connection.
Yeah.
And I think that can be more valuable, honestly, as to someone, joining a church.
Yeah. No, I can understand that. Absolutely. And so definitely don't discount yourself. Know that God has placed something in you to contribute to the body, right?
I did want to say the flip side of that really quick, just because I think when people hear that, they might be like, well, I don't, what if someone in the church is telling me I need to do this?
Mm.
And I think one thing we should not expect of our congregants is to do exactly what we want them to do. Which is like, say I need a kids person or I need a specific role, and trying to force someone into that role because I like lord it over them or whatever.
Exactly.
Or just blind following is the other thing I put, which kind of follows along with that. Like, I don't think you should ever be expected as a congregation person to just blindly follow whoever's leading the church.
Yeah.
We are expected to actually learn ourselves and pick up the book ourselves.
Absolutely.
And use discernment and even have conversations about what we may or may not agree on.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to add those in there as kind of the flip side of that. We should serve and we should be a part of that.
Yeah.
But also, we should be also in conversation with God about where and when that is.
I feel like at least once a year, every pastor should go off the rails. Like, just the test. Like, have I been leading you guys well? And have you been following well? Are you following well? Because if you are leading well and you've been depositing and discipling people to be more like Christ, then they will not follow you away from Christ. right? And so they will, you know, step back, and they will, it's kind of that if your natural, like your average is so good, that when you go down, when you're at your low, you'll have people that you have been investing into and discipling so much so that they're where they're at is going to help keep you up. It's going to raise you, or right. that organization is going to help keep it up. It's like, if you look at a team, a sports team is a great way of putting it. You have your all-star player, but he's been investing and helping to grow these other players and making other players better. So when he has an off day, they can pick up the slack.
Yeah.
Right. And so right. I feel like every pastor needs to have a really off the rails kind of day, just like once a year. Just so he can see if people just follow him off the edge of a cliff. and then be like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing?
Be like, what am I doing?
I am not God. You don't follow, like, go to him. Like, if I go off the rails, I expect you to pray me back onto them, to correct me, right? And that is part of being a good part of the body of Christ, right? Like, if you think about a body, right? Our body works to fight against what is not natural to the body, what is foreign, what is harmful to the body.
Together.
Right? And so we work together. And a healthy body is going to do it in a way where it doesn't destroy itself, right? Because that's the issue. Sometimes what we see within churches, and especially division, is that people are trying to get rid of something that they think is wrong for the body, bad for the body, that is a foreign substance, some type of contaminant, but they do it by chopping the arm off.
Right. Yeah.
They do it by like
so the toe pokes itself in the eye.
they do it by like just eating away. So it's kind of what is it called? It's not anti-inflammatory. It's like when your body eats away at itself or attacks itself. There's y'all know what I'm talking about.
What it's called.
But they're doing it in that way. Where you shouldn't, a healthy body is not going to harm itself when correcting those issues, right? Yeah. And so, but that's why I say we need to have like at least once a year, just test the waters on that. but I think everyone, something that you said earlier is this idea of being part of something bigger. And everyone wants to be part of something bigger. Everyone wants to be part of something special. And I think this would be one of the expectations that I would say of congregation members, is realizing that you're part of something bigger than yourself.
Yeah. Well, and also that you do have a place.
Yeah.
And that you can expect that your church is going to help you find it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think that lacks sometimes.
Yep.
And so sometimes you need to push for that a little bit and be like, no, I have a place. God has uniquely gifted me to be a part of this body. Help me figure out what that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And hopefully, your leaders will rise to that challenge.
Exactly. All right. All right. We're going to have to close this one up here. But is there any final things that you had down that you wanted to share as far as these expectations? I feel like we hit some of the big ones, especially when it comes to.
I think the one that I put on there, the one thing that we can expect is that we didn't really talk about, and that we can just briefly say it is love and grace. We can expect each other to be loving and to have grace for shortcomings on both sides. So
absolutely,
and that's true of the expectations on pastors, and that's true of the expectations on the congregation.
Absolutely. What's it called? I would say, and this is a word that not everybody's very familiar with, and that isn't romantic or that a lot of people like to hear, but I would say we expect good followership, or we expect good followers, as that this is what could be expected of congregation members that will be good followers. And no, it's not romanticized. That's the word I was looking
for. What is a good follower? I guess that's the question.
There you go, right? What is a good follower? And so I'm going to refer, I think we've talked about, or I've mentioned this guy once before, Ira Khalif. Ira Khalif, he writes two different books. He has two different books that are phenomenal for this. One's called The Courageous Leader, or sorry, Courageous Followership. And the other one is called Intelligent Disobedience. Courageous Followership and Intelligent Disobedience. Trigger warnings. there are some stories in those, especially Intelligent Disobedience, that can be very upsetting, triggering. So approach with caution, but it's really the substance, the idea behind those is that you want to be a courageous follower. A courageous follower is someone who will courageously, you know, follow and back up their leader, will courageously stand up to their leader and correct their leader, and will courageously be disobedient when necessary. And he goes into this whole disobedience deal with intelligent disobedience and what that looks like. And pretty much it comes down to, if you're gonna boil it all down, these are definitely worth looking into and worth the read. But if you boil it all down, and this is how I teach my daughters this, is that you are to obey unless it is harmful or immoral. If it's harmful or immoral, then you disobey.
A way to say that also might be you're following God, not the leader. And if the leader is following God, then you're both following the same thing. But if the leader is not following God, then you're not going, you're going to follow God first.
Yeah. You're going to follow God first. And the reason why that can be difficult within a church at times is because some people like to think they hear God better than their leadership.
Oh, sure. Yeah. You still have to have the humility piece, right?
You have to have the humility piece. Yeah. And then also, if you think following God means we should be playing this kind of music and not this kind of music.
Right. Not following preference.
Right. we should be having a sermon series on this instead of this. We should be naming the church this instead of this.
Yeah.
Right. Those are all preferences. All those different kinds of things. Well, at that point, this is not a matter of are you following God or not following God, but we can raise it to that level. And then that's where that's when we start chopping arms off the body, because we're like, ah, cancer, gangrene, kill it, right? But really, it comes back down to, okay, they're playing this music. Do I think this music is like and when I say harmful, I mean, like, is this physically harmful or traumatic? Like, is this going to leave physical harm or trauma on somebody? Yeah. Likely not, right? Yeah. And then you ask, well, is it immoral? Likely not. It's just not the kind of music you want, but it's not likely immoral. And if it is, if you're saying, okay, this is harmful, this is immoral, or one or the other, then courageous followership or intelligent disobedience, good followership would say, I will not follow you there. Not I'm going to blow this thing up, but I will not follow you there. And then so you step off.
I put communication is something we can expect.
There you go.
And this is a little bit personal, because I've had so many people just not communicate the actual issue.
I
think that's something we can expect. In fact, if you look at the Matthew 18:15-17, which is I don't need to read the whole thing, but it's the, if your brother sins against you, go to them. It's basically the, we need to be able to work through healthy conflict and not just ignore it. So I think that's something we can expect, and also and that can go both ways as well. Or should go both ways.
Absolutely. And then the other aspect of that followership is you should champion what is happening. Like, you should, a good follower, you would think every idea was their own and that they were just as passionate about it as leadership, even if they disagreed with it at first.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's good followership. A good follower is going to go to the end and be passionate and follow with passion and zeal. Yeah. It's that idea of, you know, like Peter trying, when he was trying to say he's going to be a good follower, like, I'll follow you to death, right? Which he eventually did, right? But that's when
he denied
right? So but he grew in to being a good follower. Yeah. right And so it's that kind of thing to where, yeah, they're gonna, a good follower is going to champion the cause.
It's a heart towards moving forward.
Yeah, they're gonna be, they, a good follower can be the billboard for your organization, pretty much. So, or the spokesman for your organization. So there it is. All right, we should probably close this bad boy up. We're out of this time. We're past time. So, would you mind closing us on prayer on this one?
No, I don't mind. Yeah. Lord, I just thank you for being here with us today. And as we go through these discussions about expectations, both for pastors like we did recently, but also for us or others that are part of a congregation or part of a community of a church. And God, I pray that maybe some of these things might land with different people and also ourselves, that we are convicted of the things that we need to be convicted of and question the things that need to be questioned. And God, I pray for that discernment. I pray for that good followership. I pray for people that are just on the journey, Lord, that we can just constantly be moving towards you and whatever that looks like, God, and that we're not standing still. You do have great things for us to learn and achieve in this lifetime. And so I pray that just help us to know what they are and move towards them confidently and in faith. I pray over giving. If that is a stronghold in anybody's life that's listening to this, God, that that you take away that stronghold, because I do believe there is blessing that comes through a cheerful giving and joy. And so, God, I pray for that over everybody who might be listening to this. And Lord, I thank you for the constructs you gave us to be able to follow well. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us on the In Hope podcast today. Remember to like, subscribe, share, join this conversation, and invite others to this conversation.
And if you would like to be a part of our ministry moving forward, we would love to have you jump on our support team. And you can find that on the website.